Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Thursday. Great to be here live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So many things change in these playoff games. We had the MVP on the floor with a guy that couldn't get nominated for the MVP. Kind of obvious who the real MVP is, right? Joy Taylor is joining me today. We'll go to Green Bay. Jordan Love talking. I don't know why they didn't let him talk. It's fine. It's amazing. Let's put him in bubble wrap. Jordan Love talk. You're like, yeah, sounds good to me. Ready to go. And then he also played very well yesterday. So we'll go to the Packers practice live to hear from a guy of a pen. We don't know. We've been calling him the Loch Ness Monster. We got like a grainy piece of footage on Jordan Love last year. I mean, we're like, can we just get a little piece of footage? So it could be a monster. It could be scary. It could be nothing. We don't know about Jordan Love. It's all just guessing. But it looked like yesterday, he can talk, he can throw, he can run. It's very exciting.
Well, maybe the pressure's on after all.
So we'll go to Green Bay. Very exciting. Like I always say, Joy and I do not root for bad quarterback play. Ever.
No. I want everyone to be competitive.
We would love Aaron goes to Denver, they win. Jordan's a star, they win. Two more good teams to talk about. Perfect. Let's start with the NBA game, though, last night. You know I'm a Chris Paul fan. And I think I have a soft spot in my heart for people who have overcome stuff. You know, the other day we were walking around the neighborhood and my wife says to me, I don't understand how, like, you see a 20-year-old and they own these homes. And I said, well, that's daddy's money or mommy's money. I said, I don't resent them, but I don't respect them. Big difference. You live in my neighborhood and you're 20, you didn't buy that house. And my point is, yeah, believe it or not, I have a nice neighborhood. The point is, this is why I respect Chris Paul so much. This is why I love Chris Paul. These things I'm about to read all happened to Chris Paul. He was drafted by the New Orleans Hornets. Remember them? Yeah. Due to Hurricane Katrina, he could not play his first 2 years there. They had to play in Oklahoma City. I don't know. Sounds kind of disruptive. They ended up winning. Then he got traded to the Lakers. Oh, no, the league stepped in. Can't do that. But we will allow you to be traded to the worst owner in the league and the worst team, the Clippers. And they won there. He was then traded to Houston, which has had all sorts of dysfunction, and they won there, 65 games, in fact, and he had the worst break. Literally, he got hurt, leading the dynasty 3-2 Western Conference Finals. Then he was traded to Oklahoma City. They were tanking. And he's like, I'll make it work. And then he got traded to Phoenix. I hope you guys remember what Phoenix was like a year ago and a year before that and before that and before that. Bad owner, Robert Sarver, worst franchise in the league for 5 years, winning percentage. And he's now winning there. I mean, I love Kawhi Leonard, but he inherited Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and a great owner and Greg Popovich. I love Magic Johnson, but he inherited, you know, Kareem. Chris Paul has dealt with natural disasters, awful owners, tanking franchises, injuries at the worst time. And what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to believe. He has a higher regular season winning percentage than Kobe Bryant and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. No wonder Chris Paul is a spokesman for State Farm. He's always got stuff happening to him, but he's the best insurance in the league. You get him, you win. But Colin, he has no titles. Titles. The fact that he hasn't quit is amazing. I mean, there's guys drafted in his draft class, they've just given up the league, and they could still play. Well, he doesn't have titles. Folks, if you grow up in an abusive house, poor, the expectations change. We don't expect you to be number one in your class in Yale and a billionaire. if you can be married and happy and get a college degree and be a good neighbor and a good human being and raise kids, you are a gold standard American. The fact that winning titles, Donald Sterling, Hurricane Katrina, the tanking thunder, the awful Suns, and he's here. This MJ's got no titles without Scottie Pippen. I want you to think about this. As great as Kobe Bryant is, Kobe Bryant inherited, he got Phil Jackson, the best coach ever, Jerry Buss, arguably the best NBA owner ever. He's on a short list. Jerry West, arguably the best GM ever. Shaq, modern day best center ever. One franchise, total stability. Chris Paul's got a higher regular season winning percentage. I don't want to hear about playoffs. Chris Paul, it's not realistic to ask Chris Paul to be knocking down hoisting trophies. He's got a higher winning percentage in the regular season than Kobe, KD, and Steph Curry. And that's why I've got a soft spot for Chris Paul. 16 years, and this cat can't get a break. He has had to make everything work. Every single year, tanking, hurricanes, Donald Sterling, the Suns mess, the tanking thunder. Does everybody understand that? When you grow up in instability and then are traded to instability, look at Chris Paul's career. It's insane for 16 years. And he doesn't get nominated for an MVP. You know, in Hollywood, they give those lifetime achievement awards. That's what Chris Paul deserves. And ask yourself this in Hollywood, because those are stars too, right? NBA, we always say it's like Hollywood stars. Give me a list. Do you know off the top of your head an actor or actress that has had a career of bad scripts, bad directors, and bad supporting casts? You don't, because you can't overcome that. Those actors are out of Hollywood. They're waiters. You can't overcome that. There are no great actors that have gotten a series of 16 years of bad scripts, bad directors, bad producers, no funding, and bad supporting cast. You don't know them because they don't exist. That's Chris Paul's career. Couldn't get nominated for the MVP. Was on the floor with the MVP last night. Chris Paul completely controlled the game. Denver's got no answers for him. They can't do anything. He controls the tempo, the pace. He's as good a defensive guard as the league has, outside of maybe Ben Simmons, who's 7 inches taller. I'll just say it. I got a soft spot for people who have to overcome. And what Chris Paul's done for 16 years in this league, man, the fact he hasn't quit is remarkable. All right, so Jordan Love, we'll have sound later. It was a big day. He's talking and he's playing well. But I was reading a story this morning about the real mess in Green Bay is a PR battle. And Mark Murphy said this week, the fans are divided in Green Bay. Folks, it doesn't matter if they're divided. It doesn't matter. There is one issue here. I'll get to that in a second. It doesn't matter if the fans are divided. But Colin, the Packer fans own the team. No, they don't. No, they don't. That's the tooth fairy of pro sports ownership in America. It says on the certificate, it's got no value and it's non-transferable. The fans own the team assumption in Green Bay. They don't. If you can't sell something, then you don't own something. You don't own the team. It has as much value as that employee of the month plaque you won 24 years ago when you were in high school, paying your way to parties, right? You worked at Burger King, got an employee of the month plaque. That's what that plaque means. Who cares if the fans are divided? It doesn't mean anything. This is not about a PR battle. This is all about if Jordan Love can play. If he can, the PR battle is irrelevant. Let's say it is about the PR battle, and Mark Murphy wins it, the president of the Packers. He wins the PR battle. Aaron holds out. Aaron holds out, and the fans are, "You stink, Aaron. We love Mark Murphy." And he wins the PR battle. And Aaron holds out and doesn't play, and Jordan Love stinks. Slow clap. But what does Mark Murphy win with that? A third place trophy in the NFC North? He wins nothing. If Mark Murphy ticks off every fan who thinks they own the team, but they really don't, in Green Bay, he trades Aaron Rodgers for three firsts, and Jordan Love, by about October, is slicing it and dicing it, he wins. This is all about Jordan Love. It's really no longer about Aaron Rodgers. It's not about Aaron Rodgers anymore. Aaron's leaving eventually, now or later. This story is all about Jordan Love. Yesterday was a very good day. He was composed, speaking, very composed, very confident, and he was very good on the field. Yesterday was as good a day as Green Bay has had in the offseason. Yesterday, this whole franchise now, who gives a rip about PR? It is about, it's not even about Aaron Rodgers. It's not about Mark Murphy. It's about Jordan Love. Dude can play, everything solved. And yesterday was a great day if you're a Packer fan. Because he stepped up to the podium and he answered questions about Aaron, had to kind of walk around that little landmine field. He was great. And he practiced. Oh, he's really great. PR is irrelevant. Mark Murphy's irrelevant. Aaron Rodgers at this point isn't that relevant because he's leaving. We got a divorce here, right? We know the divorce is coming. It's now or a year. Aaron's not going to be here in 4 years. Aaron could be on Jeopardy in 4 weeks. So the PR stuff is completely overrated. Don't believe any story that says that. Jordan Love has the future of the Packers. It's in his arm. That's all this is about.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So, you know, I'm often critical of athletes. I'm very hard on quarterbacks. And I say this before. I'm not a big, you know, the wonderlic doesn't really matter, except for quarterbacks. I do want to know cognitively if you're quick, because the world moves real fast at quarterback. And I think you should, as a general manager, have a right to ask really uncomfortable questions when you're drafting a quarterback. I want to know about his mom and his dad. I want to know about his childhood. Some of those questions, to me, feel off limits for anybody else. But this is the quarterback, and NFL franchises are worth $4, 5, 6, and 7 billion. And I'm going to have to change coaches to fit you. I mean, in Baltimore, I mean, they have a coaching staff, Greg Roman, built for Lamar Jackson. Lamar leaves, they'll probably get a different coach. Like, and that's why they get paid a lot of money, and I am all here for it. But I've always said, even in college football, I think kids should be able to transfer. But if I ran the NCAA, I would have a rule that quarterbacks could transfer once. Because if a quarterback transfers out of Oregon, Auburn, Virginia Tech, Alabama, and then another one does the same day, can't have a football team without a quarterback. We can be thin at running back, thin at wide receiver, thin at tight end. I've got to have a quarterback. Who do I snap the ball to? There is a burden of responsibility on a quarterback. And if they're not mature, I make a living out of ripping them. I spent a lot of time on Baker and Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston. But it's also, to be fair, as a radio TV host, I need to be fair and to compliment quarterbacks who do have it. It's no fair if I'm just here banging on guys who lack it. We should take time to credit people who have it. And that's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, from day one in this league, always understood the value of the moment. First time at a podium. It's like, man, a Dallas Cowboy podium is not a Jaguar podium. A Dallas Cowboy podium is not a Seahawk podium. The Dallas Cowboy podium is the biggest podium in the league with the most eyeballs. Dallas has more fans out of its area code than any franchise in the league. And from day one, Dak got it. Dak has emotionally, viscerally connected from day one with Jerry and Stephen Jones, the teammates, fans, advertisers. Dak Prescott, and this is unbelievable, off an injury where we don't know how good he'll be, signed a $200-plus million contract, and according to this story by Adam Schefter, signed a 5-year agreement with the Jordan brand. He'll be the only quarterback in the league represented by it, and the Cowboys the highest paid NFL player on the Jordan Brand roster. We haven't seen him play since he broke his ankle. This illustrates why I rip quarterbacks who aren't ready. Because Dak is the example of what happens to you when you are. Dak doesn't have a top 15 arm in this league. Dan Mullen came on his show. Dan Mullen had him in college. Loves him. He's like, yeah, we liked his leadership. It was the arm thing we were hung up on. And then he came back and it was better, but it still wasn't very good. Dak's never had a big arm. He's never been the best athlete, the biggest quarterback, the best arm. But Dak, and this is why in the end, a lot of people argue he's worth the money. He's embraced Cowboy tradition. He embraced the pressure. He embraced the moment. He understood the temperature in the room. He didn't fight it. There is such value. Dak is what agents all across America should tell quarterbacks. That agents should look at Dak Prescott and go to their quarterback and go, you want to know how to do this game? Being quarterback's a little bit of a game inside a game, right? Like, just call Dak Prescott. I'll set you up a meeting with his agent, and you just talk to him. Because that's how you do it. He's not as good as Russell Wilson. He doesn't throw it like Aaron Rodgers. He's not as big and strong as Josh Allen. He's not as fast as Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the highest-paid player, Jordan Brand. For a minute, he's the highest-paid player in the league. Leadership matters. Grown-up matters. Good at the podium matters. Embracing tradition matters. By the way, Twitter hated when he stood for the anthem. The organization didn't. 22% of Americans on Twitter. Don't play to it. 6% actually use it. He's not always done the popular thing, the cool thing, the lit thing. Not always done that. He's not always done that. He's not a sellout either. Because you know how it is now. If you don't play to Twitter, you're a sellout. Seems to me Dak's selling everything out. He's selling his shoes out. He's selling everything out. It's okay sometimes to put your arm around tradition, be a grown-up, not be cool, not play to Twitter. Dak Prescott is how you play the game beyond the game at quarterback. The fact he gets this contract and his contract off a broken leg is incredible. So it just speaks volumes of what he is as a dude. Like, by the way, we've heard funny stories through the years about Jerry Jones doesn't give out money. Michael Irvin tells the old El Paso story. Remember Michael Irvin said, I want to be paid this. And Jerry said, you ever been to El Paso? He goes, Texas? He goes, no, your contract. I'm El Paso. I'll pass on that contract. I'm not paying it. Jerry's a tough negotiator. He paid Dak. Not because he has the best arm.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one of the things about Chris Paul that's amazing, he was only 83rd in the NBA this year in shot attempts at about 12 a game. Westbrook's career average is almost double that. Basketball is a very unique sport. If I succeed, I'm taking from you. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. If Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes gets a touchdown pass, he'll get paid for that. Travis Kelce gets the touchdown catch, he'll get paid for that. And if the left tackle blocks sufficiently, every player gets graded in football on every play, he'll get paid for that. For plays to work in football, almost 10 of 11 or 11 of 11 have to do their job. And every play is graded. So you get a lot of people get paid. If Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown pass, there's winners everywhere. But if I'm James Harden and I dribble around, I'm very ball-centric, and I take a shot and I score, I'm taking a shot and points from Kyrie Irving. Well, he passes the ball, assists. You don't get paid in the NBA for assists. They don't pay you for screens and assists. They pay you for points. And basketball is very unique that way. You are taking when you succeed. You are taking from somebody else. Football is the ultimate team sport. We all win If we all do our job, we not only all win, we're all graded, and we can all be paid off one play. The tackle, they're going to look at that film and go, oh, look at that tackle. That was great. We got to sign him to an extension. So, but there's this thing in basketball where we just celebrate points. That's all we care about. There has not been a scoring champ that's won an NBA title in 20 years. Now, Michael Jordan did it 6 times, but he was also a great defender. But if you start celebrating scores, Bradley Beal, playoffs, Melo, Harden, Westbrook, Iverson, McGrady, great scores. They're takers. They're not givers. That's where Chris Paul is special. He's a giver. He only shoots 12 shots a game. Westbrook shoots 24. And players keep track of that stuff. So when Chris Paul, he can get his 16 a night, but he has 12 assists. He doesn't take a lot of shots. So efficiency matters. Volume shooters, in the end, are taking from teammates. And basketball is unique that way. In football, nobody resents the quarterback making money. Aaron Rodgers is loved by all those guys. Why? Because if Aaron's winning the MVP, that means Davante Adams has 10 touchdowns and 90 catches. That means David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. If Aaron's winning the MVP, they're not letting the left tackle go. I can tell you that. So we accentuate how much points mean. When the data tells you that great scorers do not win championships because they're takers. High-volume scorers are takers. Iverson and Westbrook. Now, you say, well, what about Michael Jordan? Again, he's the exception, and he was also the best defensive player, so Michael was taking and giving. He was giving you great defense. He was taking away their points, and he was scoring, and Michael was so much better than 99.9% of the league. Nobody argued it. But I think this is one of the things that we don't appreciate about Chris Paul. He is the rare star that is a giver, not a taker. And that is hard, and that accentuates, that's the Dak Prescott gene, which is leadership, good on the floor, controls the tempo, controls the pace. You'll find very few star quarterbacks in the NFL who people resent. They're almost always loved. Troy Aikman could yell and scream at Cowboys. They love Troy. Because if you win, everybody gets paid in football. But in basketball, why do dynasties last longer in football than basketball? It should be the other way around because football players get hurt. So dynasties should not last very long in football. You have a couple good teams and guys get hurt. But in basketball, they never last. Why? Because of ego. Why? Because everybody is losing except the two stars on that team. Because the stars are taking all the shots and getting all the points, and that means they're taking. That's why I say with Brooklyn, it's not going to last long if they win this year. Because in the end, Harden now is giving a lot more than he's ever given. He's become assist guy. He'll do that for a short term, but James Harden's one of the great scorers in the last 20 years. He's not going to become a giver for a 7-year period. And basketball, in that regard, is a very, very unique sport. Well, what about the assist? John Stockton has a zillion assists. How often do we talk about him on the show? We don't. Go look at the top 20 assist guys, history of college basketball. Gary Payton, maybe Bobby Hurley. By the way, Doug Gottlieb's on that list. Gary Payton's the one you've heard of because he could score and play defense.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By the way, we predicted this. It happened very fast during the pandemic. We said last year in the college football season, they're going to expand to an 8 to a 12 team playoff. For years and years, president said, no, 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 no. They all caved. Why? Because the sport hemorrhaged money last year. Even college football powers, many of them took loans from banks. They got bills to pay. We are going to go to a college football playoff. We predicted it on this show. I was talking to athletic directors. It's going to be 12 teams. I'm fine with it. Under two stipulations. Number one, it's not going to solve anything. You're going to have more blowouts. Just come to terms with that. It's not going to solve college football. College football is still great. You're just going to have more blow. Alabama's going to beat a 12 seed by 40 and a 6 seed by 30, and then they'll play somebody else and hammer them. So Alabama's still going to dominate. Bringing a bunch of lightweights in with 3 losses is not going to change anything. Alabama's still got the best coach and the best program. and Ohio State and Clemson, all the big dogs going to win, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. But I'm for more meaningful games. Here's the second thing. I'm for this if you get rid of all these out-of-conference games. I don't need to see Alabama play Citadel three times. To me, you get one out-of-conference game, and then you go right into your conference schedule. But Colin, these schools need those home games. No, they don't. Not if they don't cut their non-revenue sports. If you got 30 sports, get rid of 25 that don't make any money. There's no reason to have garbage games littered all over Clemson's schedule and Auburn's schedule and go right into conference play. You can't keep asking these guys to play 16. Now you want the kids to play 16 and 17 games. How many games do you want an Alabama kid to play? You're not paying him anything. So, again, I'm fine. You want to play 11 games, go to a playoff, fine. But now you're getting to a point where 14 games, 15 games. We're going to ask these kids to play 17 games. Get rid of all these crappy bowl games and all these stupid out-of-conference games. But, Colin, those small schools can't survive without playing blankety-blank. Well, bummer. Get a lacrosse team instead. If your program can't survive without getting drilled by Tennessee or LSU or Oklahoma or Oregon, shut the doors down. Because it hurts the quality of the sport. So I predicted it, I am for the playoff. But unless you want, you can't keep asking these kids to play 16, 17 games. NFL, those SEC kids, those are...
They're not going to play. They won't play in the playoffs. I mean, if you're playing for one of those schools that really doesn't realistically have a chance of winning the national championship, and you're faced with possibly playing, 15, 16 games and getting hurt, you're just going to play.
Yeah.
You know you're going to the NFL. Why would you play?
Yeah. So college football doesn't have an athlete problem. They don't have a marketing problem. What they have is a too many lousy game problem. There's about by the time you get to about the third week of the year, you're down to about four good games a weekend. Most of them in the South. Like, you get mismatches everywhere. NFL, there's maybe one game a weekend that you and your friends are like, yeah, just skip over that one. We won't even watch that on the red zone. That's no good. But the quality of college football, there's a lot of it. Too many great teams playing bad teams. That's the issue with the sport. And those games end up on television, and they hurt my eyes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Matt Schneidman works for The Athletic. He broke a story a couple of weeks ago. He said Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, was holding firm that they don't believe Aaron wants to be traded. And if he did, that's the only way they'd trade him. According to his report, Matt's report, if the team believed Aaron was truly committed to never playing for them again, they'd move on a trade. They don't think that. So they're playing a little chicken with Aaron Rodgers. And let's bring in Max Schneidman from The Athletic. Been there a couple of years. By the way, he was at... mini camp, 3 days of it. Today was the last day. So, the first day, Jordan Love, not great. Yesterday, really good. Drum roll, please. How was Jordan Love today?
It was a little anticlimactic after his nothing short of dominant yesterday, really. I don't think that's an exaggeration. He was kind of in the middle today. So, kind of the peaks and valleys that you would expect from a quarterback who really hasn't played quarterback in the NFL. He had no preseason last year, canceled because of COVID. Third stringer all year, never dressed for a game. And because Aaron Rodgers isn't here at mandatory minicamp, officially a holdout, the reigning MVP is, Jordan Love is taking the vast bulk of snaps during 11-on-11s over Blake Bortles. So we're finally seeing what Love is made of. And in a small sample size, he's showing some promise, definitely some improvement from last season.
Let's just talk about, we know he moves well. We saw his college tape. He can move around well. There's a little Mahomes there. Is he a check down kid? How's his arm? Just, if I'd never seen him play, and you're my scout, you're my regional scout, and I said, hey, give me a minute. What's he look like when he plays?
Yeah, I talked to one of his top receivers from Utah State around this time last year, and the name he threw out was Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm not saying he's like Patrick Mahomes, but he can move. He can throw a really far ball. I know that's kind of elementary terms there, but has a really strong arm. Struggled with a little bit of accuracy early in this week. Obviously, yesterday really improved on that. But he's that new age of quarterback, that Mahomes makeup. I'm not saying he's Mahomes again, but he has the intangibles that you need in today's NFL. Now, everything else, reading defenses, commanding a huddle, that is a work in progress. But the Packers, why they traded up four spots in the first round in 2020 to take him are because they think he has the physical skills, I don't know, to be the next Hall of Fame quarterback in Green Bay, but that heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers.
You know, it's interesting. We've said we kind of believe you got to rip the Band-Aid off on this thing. And when you rip the Band-Aid off, it hurts briefly, but usually heals quickly. And, I mean, if you got Aaron holding out and Jordan Love's going to be asked a million questions and so is Matt LaFleur, Matt, you've been covering this team, you know the NFL, the more noise you have, the more distractions, it's hard. This is not the NBA with six great teams, five good ones, and a bunch of junk. I mean, Jacksonville last year beat the Colts. The Jets beat the Rams. Like, you got to be focused. You can't be going and dealing with, like, you know, these peripheral issues. So let's say, is in your mind, Matt, is there a moment where the holdout continues that Green Bay, just for the betterment of Jordan Love's psyche and the organization, would move him? I mean, if he missed the first day of training camp, for instance, Matt, would the temperature in the room change, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I think Brian Gutekunst, the GM, whether it's this year or in 4 years, I know I heard you talking before I came on, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be the quarterback here for the next 4 years. I think it's possible. If they come to a resolution here and they give Aaron Rodgers a contract extension and he's the quarterback here for the next 3 years at least, I think they still would hang on to Jordan Love in hopes he can be the next guy. Listen, I know quarterbacks don't sit for 3 years like Aaron Rodgers did anymore when they first come into the league, but I think they're really committed to not trading Aaron Rodgers, as I reported, because when it comes down to it, if you're a GM, you simply cannot have the bullet point on your resume that you traded the reigning MVP with 3 years left on his contract. I don't care what the circumstances are. Brian Gutekunst cannot trade him. I honestly think that Brian Gutekunst would not swallow his pride and, you know, do anything different than what he's currently standing firm on, as I said, and that's not trading Aaron Rodgers. And even if he stays with the team, I think they're fine riding out with Jordan Love. At this point, I know it's kind of a cop-out answer, but I think they're going to keep both guys and not trade either of them. I think that's how this eventually ends. And whether that's Aaron Rodgers holding out and he's on the roster into the regular season or whether he's starting for them, I think it's one of those two scenarios that we end up in.
You used to cover the Raiders for the Bay Area News Group. Now you cover the Packers. And talk about two different fan bases. The Packers, it's very collegiate, very insular. So I'm sure that you're in Green Bay right now. You occasionally turn on talk radio, or I mean, it's the talk of the town, obviously. And I don't think the PR stuff matters that much. If Aaron's back, they win. If Jordan Love can play, they win. If he can't and Aaron holds out, they won't win as much. But when you talk to Packer fans, you go to the grocery store, you listen to talk radio, what are people saying? What are Packer fans saying?
You know, if I have my finger accurately on the pulse of this passionate fan base, I would say that not a majority of them, but a chunk of them that maybe I did not expect when this first broke on draft day from Adam Schefter, are starting to turn against Aaron Rodgers. We're getting to the point in the summer where I feel, and maybe my read's incorrect, I don't think it is, that people just want this to be over. They want him to say, all right, come back, retire, trade him, whatever. But what Aaron Rodgers told Kenny Mayne was that or what he implied essentially was that his only beef is with the front office. And that's really GM Brian Gutekunst. He said he loves the fans. He loves his teammates. He loves the coaching staff and Matt LaFleur and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. So I think fans in a sense are like, why can't you just, you know, for lack of a better term, suck up your feelings for the GM and come back and play for everyone else that you love? Just get over it. Now, that's not me saying that. That's what I think the pulse of the fans are. So is Mark Murphy right when he comes out in his mailbag on Packers.com and says this has divided the fan base? I think he's right. Was it a smart thing to do from a team president perspective to come out and, at least what it seems like, try and paint Aaron Rodgers in a bad light and blame him for dividing the fan base? I don't know if that's a great move from a PR standpoint, but like you said, I agree with you, Colin, 100%. I don't think the PR battle really matters. What matters is, can Jordan Love play?
Yeah. So when you're at practice, Do you feel compelled? Because one of the things I think about is you're just going to ask Aaron. I mean, the longer he's out, the more questions will be asked. Do you feel as a writer for The Athletic? And there's not a right or wrong answer. But do you feel kind of compelled every day to ask the Aaron Rodgers questions, even though it's June, because it's just it's the elephant in the room? I mean, were you asking Aaron Rodgers questions today?
Not today. I'm on this show instead of on the Zoom calls, which I have no problem doing. But yesterday when we talked to Jordan Love, I asked him, I said, you're a 22-year-old kid. You're a human. How do you compartmentalize all this stuff? How do you avoid the reigning MVP not being here from being a distraction for you, essentially? And I'm paraphrasing my question here, since everyone's talking about it. And he gave the cliche, the appropriate answer of, you know, just zoning in on what I can do, control what I can control. I thought Love was impressive in what he said yesterday. Yeah. But listen, you know how this industry works. We have to ask every day. It's the biggest story in the NFL. He's the reigning MVP. It's not like he's some Joe Schmo. And even if Matt LaFleur is sick and tired of answering Aaron Rodgers' questions, which I think he is, we got to ask, because you never know which day there's going to be an update. You never know which day someone's going to say something. It's the saga that will never end. And quite frankly, I just want to enjoy my summer, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. What is your gut feeling? If I said, all right, Matt, you've been covering this team for 2 or 3 years. You got a bunch of sources. I mean, you're in the town here. Just your gut feeling, what happens?
I think Aaron Rodgers starts for the Packers week 1 in New Orleans. I understand that he's dug in right now to his stance, and I understand he's very stubborn. I don't know him as well as some of the other guys on the beat who have been covering his entire career, but in my interactions with Aaron, he seems like a very stubborn guy who is not willing to waver. But that being said, and this is just my assumptions, I think there are several players on the team, Devontae Adams, Mercedes Lewis, David Bakhtiari, Mason Crosby, who can get into Aaron's ear over the next couple months. And time heals all wounds, and those are his closest friends on the team. And they say, listen, man, if they say this, listen, man, you love us, you love the fans, you love the coaches. Come back, win one more title in Green Bay, cement your legacy, even if it's not already cemented. Who cares what you feel about the GM? I think with time, they could convince him to do that. Maybe he wants to see some change in the organization in how players are treated. You heard him talk about people and how players are treated in that interview with Kenny Mayne, and kind of not naming the front office, but indirectly naming them. If he feels that the GM is really dug into not trading him, which I think Brian Gutekunst is, I could see him showing up in the middle of training camp and say, all right, their reputation's been drugged through the mud enough. I'm going to come back and do this for all the people I love. I think Aaron Rodgers will start week 1. If you ask me to put a percentage on it, I would say 65 to 70% confident right now.
All right. That's a pretty good percentage. Better than the Powerball. I play that every day. So, Matt Schneidman, read his stuff at The Athletic. He's the Packer reporter. He's been there for a couple of years. He also has alongside Bill Huber, head of the Pack podcast. Matt, thanks. You could have done other stuff today. You talked to us. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Colin. Thanks for having me.
You bet.